Louis Saha, centre forward, 385 career appearances for Mets, Newcastle, Fulham, United, Everton and Spurs, Sunderland and Lazio, a lot of teams. 117 career goals, 4 for France, 2 times Premier League winner, Champions League winner, World Cup runner-up, Intertoto Cup winner, that's the big E, and of course author, but let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
He thinks that jerk chicken is a Scouse delicacy.
This is why I love this book.
I think it's a bit like a French baby book.
I do not want to read Louis Saha describe sex to me. Sex to me.
Hello. Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the show where every week we read another forgotten or obscure / dodgy footballer's autobiography so you don't have to. Over the weeks, we're going to be reading such classics as Carlton Palmer's It Is What It Is, Barry Fry's Big Fry, and John Gorman's Gory Tales. That's a terrible joke. Why is that?
Is that really his...
That gem's the name for his book.
Horrifying.
I know. But today's book is Louis Saha, Thinking Inside the Box, Reflections on Life as a Premier League Footballer. Long. And I am joined by our book group, Jack Bernhardt.
Hi.
Amy Lawson.
Hello.
Me, James Bug, and welcome back, James Belgium.
Hiya, I brought one.
Yeah, back.
Club.
Back. Oh, okay. That's good.
Club.
We'll redo it. have you been spending your time off?
Spent the last 3 days reading this book. Literally. Yeah, I only started 3 days ago.
Wow. Oh, okay.
So it's fresh in your mind?
Kinda.
Yeah.
I refreshed on the train.
I read mine on a plane.
From.
And I read mine on an automobile.
Yeah. Amy, any novel?
Vehicle?
I read mine at home.
Oh, okay.
I did read mine.
But you're on a CrossFit machine.
I was off field. Yeah.
Did a lot of sprinting.
So, I'll get to our thoughts on the book. I know we've all got some very strong opinions. If the WhatsApp group, there's a WhatsApp group, is anything to go by. But first, I want to draw your attention to a little website called amazon.co.uk.
they do great work.
This isn't a sponsored advert for them. The book has 4 stars on Amazon, which I think is our lowest so far.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think even Darren Huckabee's... Sorry, not even Darren Huckabee.
Well,
I think,
we've done three.
And we've done 3 books.
Shitty book.
And one was a masterpiece.
Yes. Here's, I thought I'd go for a 3-star review.
Oh, interesting.
By Basel Boy, as in the Swiss football club Basel, called But Some of His Insight Is Good. Saha seems slightly crazy, but some of his insight is good. That's the review.
That's the review.
So really, that's fair enough.
That's one of those reviews where there are just 4 extra words from the review to the title.
Yeah. I also, in a novel change to affairs, I've got a second review. A review from Nadia McCauley. 5 stars. Mm-hmm. I was given a hard copy of this book by my friend, Louis Saha.
Oh!
What?
Oh. Pretty cool.
Weird. Got the same name.
Well done, Nadia.
Yeah. It's really bizarre.
Weird. Louis is a true professional. Has high standards. Well done, Louis.
That was it.
I didn't want to get swayed by that 5-star review, so I looked into Nadia's reviewing history. Don't worry, she can be trusted.
This isn't worrying.
Something called an instant Irish accent breath freshener, which she gave 1 star. Load of rubbish. Didn't work, but tasted good. Minty. So we know that she's objective and she doesn't just give 5 stars.
That's fair.
We are going to go into more depth about the book later. We're going to be doing a dramatic reading again. Actually, we're doing something slightly different to a dramatic reading this week. But it's in the same ballpark. And a quiz at the end. But first, hey, let's go around the group in a sentence or two. What do you think of the book? James, let's go with you first.
It's the ramblings of a... I don't want to call him a madman. It's just incoherent.
So did Basel Boy. Called him crazy.
He called him crazy.
Are you Basel
I think
Boy?
Crazy's a step up from... Really is a step up from Madman. I think it's I think he sort of thinks to himself, I'm pretty good with metaphors. I'm gonna write this a bit differently. But he's not.
I'm with you here. I don't think he's as gifted a writer as he thinks. However, I think we should mention quite early on, he did write it in French initially, and it has been translated. Who knows how much the translator has wrecked the book, possibly, because apparently it was quite well received before, and even quite well received in England, weirdly.
I think it might be well received in France because they're crazy. But there are lots of
get them.
Do it.
Get them, Jack.
There are certain things where you're like, oh, that's bizarre, but maybe that's just normal. Maybe it's just normal in France.
True. Amy, your thoughts on the book?
I feel very differently about this book than the rest of you.
Did you like it?
I loved this
book.
I loved this book. I loved it.
Why?
I genuinely think if you're going to read a footballer's autobiography, this is the encyclopedia to go to.
Wow.
I think he's written so heavily on the subject of football in various ways, in, you know, the money, the sex, he likes to talk about a lot, that I genuinely feel like everyone hasn't really covered football enough. Louis Saha has done it. He's done it all.
Louis Saha has comprehensively covered football.
He genuinely...
Do we have to shut the podcast down?
Yeah. At the end, yeah.
I think he's completed football.
Wow. Okay.
In its book
form. Well, this has been the Football Book Club. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
But no, I know what you mean. In fairness to him, he tries something different. He's very proud on the front of the book, saying he wrote a bit out of ghostwriter. Very much wrote it himself. I know we're reading a translated version, but he did sit down and do that. And
took him 4 years.
4 years. Interestingly, he still chose that Tottenham shirt on the front. He's wearing a Spurs shirt on the front. He played at Spurs for 4 months maximum.
Yeah, like
I think we signed him in January. Transfer deadline day. He left by May.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
But he left a mark.
But it's a bit like Myers in a way, in that he's kind of, it's like a guide to being a footballer.
Yeah. It's really a guide to being a footballer, like, outside of football.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Very much like you know, like, you learn nothing.
If you want to read about Steve Marley, it's not the book.
If you want to read about Steve Malbronk, any of these great Fulham players, not happening.
No.
Absolutely not happening.
That's true. But this is the last paragraph of the whole book. It says, to all of you, I ask you to remember that a book isn't written in a day, 4 years, as you said.
4 years,
and not to focus on small, possibly negative details, but more on the substance and information that may be of interest. Sorry, Louis, we are going to just dwell on all the negative small details. That is the whole point of the podcast.
That's the point of the book.
What happened to your book here?
It looks like it's been chewed up. I think it's because I took off the cover over and over again.
And chewed it.
To try and hide it. It's a very tasty book.
Yeah, believe it.
Well, do we have any abiding memories of Louis Saha? I think Amy and I are probably going to have the same one from his time at Tottenham. I know that's probably not a part of his career that most people remember. Mm. I remember his debut very clearly against Newcastle, where he scored 2. Adebayor got 4 assists and a goal.
And Harry Redknapp was on his way, sort of.
Yes.
I was trying to watch compilations of his best goals, and there was one that said his top 10 Fulham goals. But it was just one goal repeated over and over and over. But the YouTube title was his top 10 fun goals.
That's brilliant.
I watched it. I watched the whole thing.
Do they say in at number 10, this goal again? In number 9, this goal again?
Would you believe it?
First of all, the forward. Forward. How do you pronounce that?
Forward.
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 As in like centre forward.
Centre forward.
But I'm trying to say forward.
Forward. The forward.
The
top of the book, there is a forward.
And he's a forward as well.
He's a forward, confusingly.
He's written a forward.
But Patrice Everett is not a forward.
Mm. Yes. His book, will it be called The Left Back?
The Left Back, written by Louis Saha.
Yeah. Forward. But wherever it is, Patrice Everett says he's laughing 1 minute, almost crying the next. Anyone here cry? Amy might have.
No, I actually didn't cry.
Oh.
I was close to it, though. It's fine.
I realised I was going, shut up, Amy. Anyway,
what about my tears?
The foreword's interesting because forward. Patrice Evra.
Forward.
It's more than four words. Okay, forward. By Patrice Evra. He mentions his dad. He says, I love the bit where Louis Saha's dad tries mustard for the first time.
Best
it's great.
Ever.
It's one of the first bits of the book. I am almost positive Patrice Evra read like 20 pages and then was like, I'm done.
I've got the gist of what it's
That's exactly what I was going to say. Literally the two bits he mentions are two things that are in the first 20 pages.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this bit. It's like, that's pretty early on, man.
Come on. What, everyone knows how you do a book report. You mention something in the first 20 pages and then you look at the end and you mention something from the end. Yeah. There was a line that I got really angry with that was quite early on as well. It was, I only watch a game to check out how well the players express their desire to produce a beautiful game on the pitch like the greats I watched when I was young. Especially George Weah and David Ginola as they were maturing in Paris. What? It's just, it's very hard to read for more than like 5 minutes at a time, I think. That's how I feel about it. It's a bit like eating passé. I'm sort of like... No, okay.
By itself?
Bear with me. Yeah, genuinely, because...
Wait, what do you first, mean? Not like on bread or anything?
The first... Yeah, no, just pâté. Just straight pâté.
With a spoon?
With a spoon. And okay. Someone said to you, welcome to the pâté store. All of your meals are going to be in pâté for the rest of your life now. And you start eating it.
Wait,
like,
wait, you're going to the shop? And
yeah,
then
yeah. They lock the door and say, you now must eat pâté for the rest of your life.
Did you choose pâté because it's French?
No, actually, I chose it because it was rich, but you're right. That is sort of...
Sure.
Yeah, also
rich
xenophobic.
But wait, let's carry on with the story.
Okay, hang on. So, because... We're,
Amy, James, and I are locked in the pâté store.
Because, okay, so there's the foreword. There's also a message from Charles Bitry, and then there is also the author's preface. And yes. The author's preface is bonkers.
It's mental.
The author's preface is my favorite bit of the book.
And this is exactly what I mean, is because you start reading it and you're like, they're individual, why would you have the book in front of you if you're listening at home? But you might.
Reading along.
They are just a series of unconnected sentences in italics that are all mad.
And it sounds like a perfume advert for a perfume called Football. I think. The game demands that I do my best, and even a little bit more. I'm as dependent on football as man is on the air he breathes. I've become blind to his excesses. Jealous people accuse me of being arrogant because I'm bold. I appreciate being able to live a privileged life. Football gives me a lot, but from one day to the next, it can take back everything.
Can you put like perfume ads behind this and see if it...
Can we do that in edit, do we think?
Yeah, we can do that.
I need to find it, royalty-free. Sometimes I believe I have the upper hand, but in reality, football is my master. I no longer have any control over my time, my image, or my personality. I just about control my money and what I do for fun. I live the dream and hate to sleep.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, that is a great line.
That is the last line as well.
By Louis Saha. Yeah.
I just love how it spills over onto the first page. Like, the editor's probably gone, can we just lose a couple of these just so we can keep it? Yeah. He's gone, no, definitely not.
No.
Keeping everyone.
It is. 2 pages long. It is 2 pages long of unconnected sentences. But that's what I mean, is that I'm sort of reading it. I was like, this is going to be the greatest book of all time.
Yeah.
It is going to be nonsense from start to finish. But you get like 3 or 4 pages in and you're like, oh my God, my eyes. Like, it's genuinely like... Like, but
you read this with enough light?
Probably not. No, yeah. It was slowly being dimmed. Well, I thought for the perfume effect, I should read it in complete darkness.
Yeah, that's true. It does say read as the perfume effect.
Read in complete darkness.
There's also draw attention. This is before the book even has page numbers.
This is
page X.
I think they're just alternative titles for the book that he was like, well, I've got a bunch of these. Put them in italics.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
I honestly think he could put them in fortune cookies.
They
would work really well as fortune cookies.
There's one good bit in which is where is this segment. When the cashier reads my name on a credit card, it's not usually the Iranian airline Saha Air that first comes to mind, but football. This is a source of big pride for me.
So weird.
I mean, this isn't unusual because a plane cannot buy something. A plane has never come into a shop and like, here's my credit card. It's Saha Air, the plane.
Are you, sir, are you a Boeing 747?
Yeah.
No, I am Louis Saha.
Oh, yes.
It is.
People make that mistake.
Sorry, I was looking down, scanning things.
It's very, also he talks about there that his name in Arabic does mean health. And he says that is ironic.
So that means that probably means that Saha means health air.
Health air, yeah. Healthy air.
Oh,
which is ironic because it's not healthy. Not Arabian. Arabian.
Wow.
Okay.
Continue.
No, planes are not healthy. Planes are not healthy. I'm going to cut that as well. Chapter one. Good luck, bad luck. Part one. So he's got...
He's got parts and chapters and everything.
Yeah. The first part is...
The man is thorough.
It's, yeah. As you were saying before, it's kind of not so much about...
Anything.
Yeah. It starts off actually very weirdly kind of talking about all the things he hasn't achieved in his career as opposed to all the things he has achieved, which is quite an interesting, bold start, I guess. Just maybe not executed particularly well, I would say.
Yeah, it's that thing where you think you could lose... 2/3 of the words and probably achieve the same effect if it had been. I think there is a good book in here if you just slice away a lot of these words, these excess phrases.
I would say the same,
but then I would blame the editor for that. I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, but then he didn't. It's difficult.
I love having this devil's advocate.
Yeah,
you get him, Amy.
Yeah,
that's their job. They're meant to go, Louis, you really have rambled on for 4 years now. We're gonna have to put it in a book. And, you know, slice that stuff down.
They must be getting so frustrated at him, like missing the deadlines over and over again.
Do you think he kept on also having, like, match reports like Darren Huckabee? So there was also a sense of, like, all the stuff he was doing.
The book is 7,000 pages long.
It's the Bible.
It is a really, genuinely is a very interesting start. Because I was like, oh, this is it. Because he talks about the World Cup final that he missed, which I had completely not registered that Louis Saha could have played in a World Cup
final. Had a potential,
I kind of forgot. Does anyone else remember that particular James? Remember
not
it?
At all.
No.
I remember the final. It was the Zinedine Zidane headbutt. The most famous World Cup final there is.
Well, he surely would have been a sub, right?
Yeah, he came off as a sub in the semi-final and got a second booking of the tournament and missed the final.
It's quite amazing. I think they've actually... Has that stopped happening now? That can no longer happen.
In the Champions League? I'm not sure about the World Cup, but in the Champions League it does.
Okay, that's fair. That's very dull thing to ask.
Boring. They're talking about football. Who do you think you are? Not Louis Saha.
Yeah,
talking about motorbikes instead, yeah.
But he wants it to be... He wants to help people out. He wants to help his son out, as he says on page 26. I want my son to picture this, a vision of the future as told by my son. I was a model student, the girls thought I was a playboy, the teachers thought I was a brain box. In fifth form I skipped a class and still passed my exam with flying colours. Today I'm a successful engineer or footballer. I want to thank you, Dad, Mum, with this little gift. I would say to him, thank you, son. This will be my child's story.
That is one of the weirder bits.
Yeah,
of
and it's strange.
It's very much
thanks
highlighted
for making
for
me a footballer or engineer.
Yeah,
or engineer. Flying I'd colours. Be happy with both, son.
Yeah. Maybe both. That would actually quite good.
As long as you're a playboy, that's all that matters. True.
Wait, go back to the thing about the girls thinking you're a playboy.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that, son.
He's
quite salacious. He says in the beginning how this is a book from the glory, the riches and the fast cars, the pressure to win, the agonising injuries, and the women who will do anything to better footballer. Ooh.
Oh, God. Ooh. There is a lot of, again, well, we're going to get into that later, I'm sure. But some horrible things about how... Like the women around him, it seems like. Oh,
it's
God.
Gross.
Mademoiselle Starfucker is a line later
Good Lord.
On.
That is the name of his son.
How proud.
Spoiled the book,
The CERN engineer, Mademoiselle Starfucker.
Oh, my God. James did say right at the start, the metaphors and similes of this man are just something to behold.
Hit me with them.
My God, I'm going to read a small passage and I hope you don't mind.
Of course. Encouraged.
It's the second yellow card. He's slumped into a depression. He's at his mother-in-law's house. He said, I may have been on holiday, but it was hard to smile. I love my mother-in-law, but my head lolled like a lead balloon while my soul went for a stroll in the ditch. My body moved like Casper the Ghost. Like Casper the Ghost? This is good GCSE metaphor. I spoke, but no one understood the vowel-less words that came out of my mouth. Now that is...
Now, okay.
Makes you think, I don't know. None of them mean.
If you're, like, depressed, surely you sort of, like, elongate words and go, slowly.
Yeah.
Rather than being,
words.
Like, vowel-less. So
like,
be, like,
text speak. Like, Thanks for the memories. That's the Fall Out Boy song. Yeah. Just kept saying. That probably came out around that time.
Yeah.
Thanks for the memories.
He's. I mean, his metaphors are incredible.
They are incredible, and they are just.
And they keep coming
throughout the book.
There's a bit where he talks about a great person who helped, like all these players become. Great people. Mr. Morel was like a special tool used on precious gemstones that are very hard to carve. When the work is done with skill and care, the result is outstanding. An exceptional diamond which travels from one window display to the next because all the top jewel merchants want to have it in their showcase.
Whoa. I mean...
Yeah, except that's not how jewel shops work.
No, it's
They're not like, hey, I love that jewel in your... I've really got to get that jewel.
We don't want to sell it. We just want it in our window.
Yeah, we want to have it so we can sell it to another jewel place.
He doesn't understand shops very well.
No.
He thinks airplanes can shop in there.
That's very true.
James, any big thoughts on this chapter or this whole part?
He contradicts himself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit where he sort of has this sort of elitist look at the youth of today, and he says that fine collections of beautiful poetry have been bastardized by text messaging. And then 11 pages later, the first lol comes out.
Yeah, he does use the word lol a lot.
He loves the word lol. Yeah.
Which is very strange for something where he uses so many words. Yeah. And then he just goes, oh, I can't bother to write anything else there. Just lol.
There is a section later on where he's talking about alcoholism. And he says, oh man, can you imagine what you look like when you're drunk? Lol. And then a couple of paragraphs later is talking about Tony Adams being an alcoholic.
Lol.
The whole chapter's called lol. Yeah, by the way.
Lol, lol, lol. I mean, I've said it already many times, but there are lots of other people who jump into the story without warning. Like Zidane, Patrice Evra. Patrice Evra has done the preface, but he also predominantly has, like, he turns up in this book constantly.
Wow, throughout.
William Gallas turns up, Phil Neville, Alex Ferguson. The title technically is With the Thoughts of Zidane, Sir Alex Ferguson, Thierry Henry, Patrice Evra, Phil Neville, and many others. And many is right. There are lots of people who turn up in this.
Some who say very little.
Yakubu, he does a little thing right at the end.
Yes.
Being like, hey, African players, it's difficult for us. Bye.
To be fair, I mean, again, coming from someone who adores this book, I think without these additions, my God, what a weird, strange, and unreadable book I'm sure you will find it to be. But the additions were what absolutely made it for me, because he knows they're more interesting than him. He knows Thierry Henry, and he knows
Zidane's
Alex Ferguson. And I think throughout, I don't want to get too emotional. I might actually cry just talking about it rather than reading it. No, but throughout, he says, this was a joke and now it got really serious. throughout, I think he starts the whole chapter and continues through the book with his constant injuries and how he didn't make a World Cup final and how he didn't make a Champions League final. And I think he knows that he's just a constantly injured, kind of, sort of, underwhelming striker in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And so that's why he's got all these amazing stars in his book that he can be like, but that's why I love football, because there are these people that made it. And there are these people he talks about at the academy that didn't make it. And I think it's quite interesting how he sees himself in the world of football.
And actually, that's very true based on the fact that he starts by saying, I missed the World Cup final. And that sort of sets up the entire book to be like, yep, I'm an almost guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never.
He's very self aware.
Amy, if anyone's ever going to sell that book, that was the best possible review of the book. And it's true. And I think that is probably what he wants
your opinion.
Yeah. You're right. That is true. It just probably gets a bit lost along the way.
I agree that he's successful in many aspects of that.
Like
you do get that sense of, oh, okay, yeah, you haven't quite hit those heights. And I think that the Casper the Ghost metaphor is actually quite a good bit of like, oh, that was my chance, that was it. That was my chance to make a moment or to make a mark on football.
I think you said it best, Jack, when you texted me. So there's a lot of the first bit is quite a sad opening to the book. I think you said 19 pages in, they've already mentioned the Holocaust. I think you said to me.
That was a bizarre mention.
Within 19 pages, he has mentioned the Holocaust, slavery, the deaths of Mark Vivian Foe and Gary Speed. It is very intense, very, very quickly.
Yes, Blake. It's not all bitches and Porsches. Jeez. We'll find out later.
A good name for the book.
Yeah. Not all bitches and Porsches.
Bitches, Porsches, and the Holocaust. Alternate title.
Guys, I'm going to do something slightly different. I promised you a dramatic reading. I ain't going to give you a dramatic reading. I'm going to give you
a sexy reading.
Ooh.
Is that sexy enough?
Yeah, do it again.
A sexy reading.
One more time.
A sexy reading.
Oh, yeah.
No one else is enjoying it as much as you and I.
We're also recording this in, I feel like it's important to know that we're recording this in James' bedroom.
That's true. We are in my bedroom because I feel the acoustics might be better and the last episodes have had their problems, as you'll have noticed. Cue sexy music.
Bang in.
I thought you were going to sing it for a second.
No, yeah. I don't know what it is.
Leaned in very slowly. Something almost carnal, and with hindsight comic, which could have had more serious consequences, happened at the end of my first season with Fulham in 2001. Again, another reference to Fulham without going into any depth about Fulham.
Fulham is not mentioned at all.
Yeah. He was at Fulham.
Didn't have a great time.
Doesn't matter. She was sleek and black, with knobbly bits here and there. She was oh so sophisticated. I loved her charm, her feline? shape, and sassy ass, which made my jaw drop. Once I'd seen her in the magazines, she was always on my mind. For months I waited, eager to devour her, as a wolf waits for a sheep to stray from its flock. Do you think he watched a few, like, Attenborough documentary before that?
There are so many things wrong with this. Okay, sorry, you gotta.
Did I own up to my obsession? Of course, I said nothing. To my family, especially not my father, as he is so serious and wouldn't have understood. I told my girlfriend, and our conversation was electrified. I felt small, but gave in to temptation. When I removed the packaging, I let out a little whimper. I was not licensed to drive my beautiful KTM Duke.
Thank God.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't unwrapping a woman.
We all breathe a sigh of relief.
It says a lot about this book that for genuinely the entire paragraph, yeah. I was like, it's a woman. It has to be a woman.
It's got to be.
It's a woman.
He talked to his girlfriend.
Yeah, there's nothing else it can be.
I had less experience in motorbikes than an 8-year-old.
Sure.
And that is a good metaphor. Yeah, going back to your point, David.
That's great. It's an accurate metaphor.
Who hasn't got good experience with no, 8-year-olds? I remember how I rode her with a great big smile on my face, my dreads whipped by the wind as I went no more than 20 or 30 miles an hour. What a loser.
What a loser.
And that wasn't me. That's what he said.
Yeah, he says what a loser.
Then he gets. Then there's a long bit about him getting injured on the motorbike.
Where he calls himself Twit of the Year.
I fell over. My wrist hurt like hell, and I was stunned by my total lack of self-awareness. I traveled 3 meters through the air and bit in the dust like Twit of the Year. I was a long way off cool.
Oh, that was so sexy.
Was that sexy?
That was
incredibly sexy.
Everyone pretty turned on by that.
I think we should do that more.
I feel like the sexiest bit happened early.
Okay.
With so many of my...
And then I couldn't see it through. James, you found that sexy?
Sleek black. What was that? Sleek black what?
Sleek black knobbly bit or something. Was it?
I feel like he started off strong with sleek black knobbly bits, and then he was like, oh, I'm just going to keep going. I'm keep chipping more things in here. But then it's just weird, isn't it?
He loves a metaphor.
I always look for a sassy ass on my motorbikes. I like this motorbike, but do you have anything with a sassy ass? I don't know.
Well, good news, Louis.
Louis, let me tell you, we got a sassy ass motorbike with lots of knobbly bits.
Sadly, a Boeing 747 has come and bought it already. talking of sexy, in the interviews we've already mentioned, he's called Bro a lot, which is that's not the sexy thing I'm going to mention. Don't worry. The sexy thing is when Mikel Arteta talks to him, as opposed to calling him Bro, he calls him Papi.
Love it.
Mikel Arteta, midfield with Arsenal. Papi, no one should negotiate their dreams or ambitions. That's how he kicks off the sentence. Oh, I, Papi, no one should negotiate their dreams.
Oh, it's weird.
So they
also call him Petit Louis as well. Like.
Yeah, and that's he lies weird. And says, well, I say he lies. Has anyone ever heard of Petit Louis cheese?
Which no, he says, I would like to ask this.
His nickname's Petit Louis. He says that Petit Louis, the cheese, flew off the shelves because of that. Never heard of it. I did Google it. I think it's a bit like a Baby Bell. French baby.
Petit Louis.
But I don't think it's sold.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? We've got a player called Louis Saha who scored 4 goals for France.
Goodbye, shitloads of cheese. Actually, Amy, talking about when you the emotion you were talking about, I actually think when the dream becomes a nightmare, when he's talking about how he missed the Champions League final for Man United because of injury and because of consistent injuries. It's one of the best chapters of all the books we've read so far.
Yeah.
Generally a really, really, really good chapter.
It is so good.
Can we all agree on that?
I think that is the frustrating thing about this book is there are moments where you're like, yeah, this is genuinely excellent.
It is. And it's very similar to Maya Yoshida's had chapters that were dark and darker and pitch black.
Oh, yeah.
And this chapter really just builds up. Like, you absolutely follow it all along. The whole... Champions League, the music of the Champions League, and how he was like, it's more inspirational than the Rocky theme. It's better than the American national anthem. Like, someone put their hands up, were like, no, I think the American, no, it's better.
Yeah, it's
better. No, it's unmistakable.
Shut your mouth, it's better.
Yeah.
It must be better.
It's like a rallying cry announcing the gladiators' arrival into the fighting arena.
That is good,
it's
that stuff.
Perfection.
It's great. And he's thinking about all the people who are watching at home. He's got the little Chinese boy sitting cross-legged in his home.
the good Muslim between his five daily prayers, the old chief of an African tribe stroking his long white beard, and then later on, Usain Bolt and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, just there.
Are they watching it together, no, these people? Sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm late, guys.
They're
it
also
was
here.
Really hard to get from China.
Part two, Dark Side
Hold
of the
on
Sun.
A sec. Yeah. There's a bit where he thinks that jerk chicken is a Scouse delicacy.
Which really?
It's not long after that when he says that broccoli in vegetable soup made his blood turn to fire.
Turn to fire water. Yeah. Is that can that happen?
Did we read the same book?
Jenny, this is stuff. A weird thing about this book, because I feel like you could read every second sentence and have a completely different experience.
You really? This is why I love this book.
True, yeah, you're making it sound good.
That was one of the bits I was rereading 3-4 times and going, what is the link between these things? Is he saying it's spicy? Is it wreaked havoc with his stomach?
Is it?
What is going on here? Why is vegetable
your
soup making his blood in
all you have
water?
To do is drink broccoli soup for that long and find out.
I have been for the last 3 days.
How's your blood?
A bit hotter, but I don't say fire water yet. So
keep going.
I'll keep you posted.
Part two is called Dark Side of the Sun. This is when he talks about a lot of the things that you've got to look out for as a footballer. And he does things like let the Wags write a chapter.
Oh, sure. Boy.
Jack liked that chapter.
Oh, no. Jack did not like that chapter.
No, no.
Why not?
Because it's very upsetting. It's just a lot of, like, stand by your man, ladies. It's very, like, Stepford Wags.
And that's written by the
by the
Wags
orally,
as well. I don't think Louis R. always has the most progressive views of women either.
No,
but his wife is also exactly the same.
But also, I mean, it's just very depressing. Like,
it's his wife, Sylvain Distan's wife, Patrice Evra's wife.
Yeah, maybe? I think so. Mm-hmm. Sandra Evra.
Yes.
Which is a hard word. Hard name.
Sandra Evra.
Sandra Evra.
Sandra Evra? Sandra Evra?
Forward? there's a bit where he says, a genuine player's wife. That's the interesting thing. Like, there are bad players' wives out there who will do things like complain and be upset.
Get their nails done.
And be upset when their husbands come back from home and don't ignore them all the time. Oh my God, imagine. It's just sad. Mm. It just made me sad.
We talked about questionable attitudes. There's two very strange things on page 137.
Oh, no.
One, how he did everything to ensure his first child was a boy, because I was anxious about having to cope with a young girl having adolescence crises. So he eats huge amounts of salt.
Uh-huh.
Is that a thing anyone knows to do?
Classic.
I mean, you've been eating a lot of broccoli soup lately.
Yeah, so just a bit hotter blood.
What do you think?
And you can't stop giving birth to those girls.
Girls, so.
Yeah, I
really,
don't know what.
The
they must
salt
be reacting to
it.
Really, like, warm girls. Yeah. That's strange.
It's horrible.
But also, just carrying straight on, he says, my wife doesn't know it yet, but I plan to have our daughter chipped with the latest human microchip.
Yeah,
you know, the latest human microchip.
Yeah.
Not the old one.
Yeah.
Do, do, do. My little angel, the idea tickles me pink. Again, good translation.
That must be something. That must be a mistranslation.
Yeah.
You don't get tickled pink by the idea of microchipping
no,
your daughter.
No, that's...
Oh, God. There's also a bit, the page just before that was very hard to read, where it's talking about, like, oh, God, yeah, all the ways that it wasn't just I've had lots of sex, it was all the ways he's had the woman has had sex with the Premier League footballers. Oh God.
Oh, yeah.
It's
started listing off positions.
It just the whole thing is just very much like I do not want to read Louis Saha describe sex to me.
That was the most difficult bit to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole section there. And then I think immediately after when he just starts slagging off his wife and gets all his mates to come in and slit their wives as well.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Was a bit weird.
We're turning her.
Yeah.
Amy's not enjoying it anymore.
I think the bit for me was that he wasn't just like, you know, sometimes she's not in the best mood, but it's understandable. He was like, sometimes she's in a mood. And he's like, he's Sylvain Distan. Distan's like, yeah, sometimes my wife has a period.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Very suspicious they've got emotion.
Now like, you say it.
Sometimes I come back from matches and I'm really tired, and sometimes my wife is on her period. And it's like, oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I'm dubious of how many of these quotes are actual quotes from these guys.
You think he's made them up?
I think he might have. That's
a Sylvain thing to say.
Yeah, because everyone says bro at the start or petit Louis.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's actually called him
Mikel Arteta.
Petit Louis.
Oh, papi.
I think he'd say papi.
Yeah. Carter's just reading this being like, oh my God, I've never said Pappy before in my life.
He'd call me Pappy if we were together. However terrible that chapter was, he still put his wife in the book and gave her an entire chapter.
That's true.
So hats off, Darren Huckabee did not.
A person who does like mentioning footballers, my friend Ken. Remember, we've had a couple of chants the last couple of weeks. We had I love it when you call me Leroy Leiter, and I'm going to take Grant Holt down to Carrow Road. I've set him the task because it's becoming a thing of making another chant for an early millennium Norwich player. He's done this one for us to the tune of an Outcast song. Scores us, goals and makes defenders cry, steals the ball and plays it down the line. He's Simeon Jackson. Ooh, is he for real?
Wow.
These are getting better.
That is my favourite by far.
Part three is all about kind of the difficulty getting to the top. Mm-hmm. He kind of goes into all the superstitions you need and all the things that can help you, stir you on, the problems in the media and stuff like that. And there's a really good segment where he says he hates stirrers in media. He likes good, decent, professional broadcasters like Andy Gray and Richard Keys.
But he also says, I used to like Andy Gray and Richard Keys and Gary Lineker, as if to throw them all under the same bus.
Yeah, not fair. Take Gary out of that bus.
Gary's just going, wait, hang on.
No.
There's also a chapter on music, for some reason. You've all heard of DJ Khaled, DJ Jazzy Jeff, DJ Snake, and now DJ Phil Neville.
Yes.
DJ Phil Neville
is a big thing. Apparently Phil Neville gets on the mix quite a lot in the Man United dressing room. Or in the Everton, I'm guessing it probably is. Actually.
Yeah, it was Everton.
Maybe both, I guess. He would have played with both clubs, maybe?
Did they move at the same time?
They probably would have gone about a similar time. They were like,
click it in the
he
edit.
Was like, look, if we're going to Everton, you've got to sign this guy, DJ Phil Neville. Yeah. It'll be brilliant.
I need my music man. Yeah.
At one point, I mean, again, this is one of those bits where I just started like zoning out. He mentions just a bunch of people like that he likes to listen to, like Tupac, Admiral T, Booba, 50 Cent, Bob Marley, Michael Jackson, Gypsy Kings, Rihanna, Jay-Z, Black Eyed Peas, Kassav, Stromae, Doris B.I.G., Diams, Eminem, Balavoin, Nirvana, Sinatra, and others. And that's the one where you could have just
mentioned
like,
more.
And others. Like,
you know music, right? I listen to music.
He's doing that thing you used to do on MySpace where you'd list like 50 of your bands. Like, I like these bands, so if you like them, then
We're compatible.
Just cool, because these are just some of the bands I like. That's my personality. He's just doing that, but in the book.
This is also the chapter of the book where he talks about his son gyrating his hips to Inter Club.
First time he hears 50 Cent.
Yeah. Louis Stiles listened to Inter Club on MTV bass. Everyone starts to nod their heads as a reflex, and I let rip. Turn it up and shake the house! Then I noticed my six-month-old gyrating his hips, so rushed to check him.
Did he call your brother? My six-month-old gyrating his hips, what do I do?
You can still play against crew, I'm sure. This chapter was the bit that I had to put it down for a little bit, where he spends three pages, having not talked about any of the matches he's involved in, he spends three pages describing a fictional goal in a cup final. Three pages. And it's just stuff like the ball that has been made by the amazing Adidas people, and they have spent hours. I'll try and find it. Hang on. God damn it. Let me find it. It's just, it's, oh God.
Why does he talk about it again?
What he wants to do is the ultimate dream of all young footballers is to shoot into the top corner of a goal of the world's best goalkeeper in the final of the World Cup, bringing victory to his country. And that
just is a hot air.
That is the thing where you're like, yeah, that's true. That's a true thing.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
And then starts to describe how you would have to score an overhead kick and the technique that would be required, as I say, for three pages. What runs through his mind? Mate, it's now or never. Again, none of this happened. This is all fictional. So what if I banana slide into my back and smash my coccyx in front of 3 billion football fans watching the World Cup final? So what if they all laugh at me and if I miss the ball? Go on, go for it, because they'll respect you for trying. None of these people exist. They are fictional. He will soon kick the perfectly designed ball, which is the product of hours of scientific research and grip and groove technology. Again, not a real ball. The manufacturer's employees are so proud of their work. Not real manufacturers! Not real employees! Oh, God. I so lost
you,
my
you
mind.
Like, you like this bit?
I cannot stress how little any of this happened. None of this.
And like, lots of things happened in his career.
So yeah, much like stuff happened in his career.
A 20-year career.
Also, very quickly, he also says that if he had to choose between being a star in a legendary band or an anonymous winner of the World Cup, which would you choose? My answer is a question mark.
Brilliant.
Committal.
<That's> yeah.
What would you guys choose?
An anonymous winner of the World Cup.
What? Yeah. What? So I guess that means like... Didn't Huddersfield sign some guy who won the World Cup for Germany?
Oh, like right. How people...
Okay,
like,
what about Strokden Mustafi? Okay, yeah, but you'd rather be sure. Like John Lennon or Mustafi?
Dead or not remembered.
Jack, you were going to mention how all the people who he does mention other than footballers in the book.
Oh my God, there are so many people. We've had Casper the Ghost, Gargamel, the evil wizard from the Smurfs, Dominic Strauss-Kahn, twice.
Yes, at least...
Yeah, Nelson Mandela,
of course.
Karen Brady, which actually is the
that makes sense
the person closest to football, yeah. I would argue. It's
Alan
remarkable.
Sugar, the other guy off The Apprentice. Yeah.
He's a big fan. Yeah. Katie Price, he mentioned.
Oh, a lot.
God, he mentions twice.
Katie Price, sadly.
Do you think he likes Katie Price, James?
No.
Okay.
He blames her for the downfall of children's dreams, girls' dreams.
Yeah, he does.
Children's dreams.
He's like, they used to have Barbie, and that was the role model of the perfect life for a girl, and now Katie Price came along and ruined it
all.
He mentions Nuts Magazine. That's another one.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He mentions Osama bin Laden and Adolf Hitler within a few sentences each other. Maybe in the same sentence.
Yeah, it is in the same sentence.
What's
yeah.
the context? His favourite goal for Everton.
Can we talk about superstitions?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Because this might be maybe my second favourite chapter of the book. Mycon, it's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It's one of the worst superstitions. You know, they're like, oh, and they listen to the same song before a game. And then it's like, and then there's Mycon, the Brazilian defender.
What did he do? I can't
who tells the story of how his ex-footballer father, so sure, he might have had a bit of context and reasoning, took him and his twins' umbilical cords and buried them under the grass of his former club, praying that one of his sons, just one of them, of the two umbilical cords, would become a footballer.
I really
it worked.
If they got permission.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they still there?
What is that guy doing with a gross bag?
He used to play for this club, but I think he's got some kind of weird worm in his head. What's going on there? Oh, but that's also, I mean, that's comparatively, like, happy compared to what happened to immediately afterwards. He talks about a team in Zimbabwe were ordered by their superstitious coach to ritually cleanse themselves in a river infested with crocodiles and hippos. 17 players bathed, but only 16 got out.
God, it is bad.
The worst part of the story is that they then lost the match. Is that the worst part, Louis?
My favorite sentence in this segment was about numbers, which are good luck. He says, at Everton, I went from number 9 to number 8 because I was born on the 8th day of the 8th month in the year 1978, so it felt good to me. At Tottenham, I'm number 15 because that shirt was free.
It's my favourite line.
I'm going to move on to part 4. It's called Bling Bling, The Times They Are A-Changin', my favourite Bob Dylan B-side. You kind of think it's going to be a lot about the big boys' toys and bikes and stuff like that. And it isn't really.
Which we've already sort of done. That's
yeah.
The weird thing about that book section.
It's a bit pointless, this section. He has some terrible pranks at one point to kind of rival Darren Huckabee. Yeah.
There's a prank that is, as soon as you sit down in a toilet cubicle, you'll get a bucket of water poured on your head.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a prank.
Prank!
Oh, it's not like, oh, I've been...
Can't believe you fell for that one.
Needed to go to the toilet, did you? You fucking idiot.
Other ones they would do were... training games when you're allowed only 2 touches of the ball are fun, but best not play against me as I have very hard nails and the loser's ear is flicked by the winner's finger. Not a prank. No,
that's just
a
mean.
Weird torture.
I've been growing my nails for this moment.
But otherwise, chapter 4 is basically just an excuse for him to say how he has not very progressive views about a player coming out as gay in the Premier League.
It's
really grim.
He doesn't like the Everton pink shirt they wore because it was...
And he says, I hope nothing I say here is homophobic, but I really didn't want to wear that pink shirt because it's for sissies. And you're like, oh my God.
Sissies.
I think he says at one point, I hate being called a sissy.
It's a similar softness.
Softness, not manliness.
Again, Beano language.
Very Beano language.
Yeah.
Puppies and kittens in birthday cards often have pink bows around the necks. I told my boys they would never see me in that colour, but there I was in pink.
Also, that humbling experience. That shirt was brilliant.
I absolutely loved that Everton shirt.
I thought it was cracking.
Yeah, it was a very good shirt.
And it's weird because he's also talking about, like, earlier on, he's like, oh, in rugby, they've done it really well. You know, they have, like, pink shirts now, and they have, like, you know, like, they have statues. They had, like, they had a calendar of, like, naked male players, and I think I think that's really good.
Yeah.
And then he ends that section by being like, pink, disgusting.
It's just very bizarre.
It's just sad, isn't it?
Is there anything else anyone would pick up?
Oh, he also says, I confess I would find it difficult in the changing room if a player came out. Would I move away because of being embarrassed as much for him as for me? It's very like...
Louis might have changed his views now.
It's 2012, and I do actually think there's probably been a little bit of a change in...
Probably, society,
I suppose, as well. But it is very much like, oh, it's hard to read that.
It didn't end it on a good note, did
it? It was a sad way to end.
Especially with the positivity of, like, the racism and him talking about...
The Bin Laden chat. It was so positive.
The Bin Laden, the Hitlers, and...
I thought I'd bring up Bin Laden and Hitler. Another mention of Dominic Strauss-Kahn as well. Why not?
Yeah.
He's talking about racism and he's like, really? In 2012? And it's like, oh, Louis, wait till you get 2019. Like,
It's like the opposite of most books. When you read them and they date really badly and you go, well, obviously that language was okay in those days, but now it's not acceptable in the slightest. This is the opposite. It's like looking back at a time 7 years ago when everything was better in the world. It was like, yeah, people aren't racist anymore in England.
Have
we talked you away from liking the book?
Ever so slightly.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe that. There's still some cracking chapters that are better than any other chapters that I've read.
Yeah, I would
so
agree.
Far.
That Man United chapter is better than everything in the other books. The Champions League final.
Don't get me wrong. We
that's
love you, Maya Ishida. I love it.
Whatever it was called, like the tyranny of property agency.
Oh, yeah, it's slightly better than the tyranny of property agency. Lord. I'd agree with that. Actually, the Champions League chapter is actually very, very good. But as a book, as a thing to read, nah.
I'm gonna do this week's quiz.
Okay.
To answer the questions, I want you to shout out your name according to what footballers would call Louis Saha. So, who's the oldest here? How old are you, James?
88.
James is oldest. So you're Papi.
Ooh, Papi.
Youngest, Amy, you're Petty Louis. Jack, you're Bro.
Bro! Ah, yeah. Thank God. So Bro.
Question one. What type of sausage does Louis... Oh, you got to shout out your name. What type of sausage does Louis Saha repeatedly describe as delicious in the book?
Bro.
Yes.
Merguez.
Yes, he does. One to Bro.
Because he keeps on going like, oh, I had another delicious Merguez sausage after the match. Why is he... Does he have a sponsorship with Merguez sausages?
Who is this segment about? X is an extraordinary impulsive player. We all have our shortcomings, especially at that age. We need evil to appreciate good, ugliness to appreciate beauty, painful moments to enjoy the good times, however short-lived, a Satan to have a God.
Wow.
Who is that describing?
Oh, God.
Anyone? You need a clue?
Should we just guess?
It's a fellow player at Man United.
Petit Louis?
That is him. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, that's Louis.
That's my name.
Sorry. Yeah.
Where now?
Is it Cantona?
No.
Oh, Bro.
Yes.
Is it Eric Jemba Jemba?
No.
Good guess. Did he get caught?
He gets mentioned. Yeah.
It's Wayne Rooney. No one got
Wayne
that.
Rooney.
It's Wayne Rooney.
Is that the first ever question none of us have got?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Great.
Book.
Rooney. And finally, which philosopher said this? In order to have no regrets, work harder and take more pleasure than anyone around you.
Bro?
Yep.
Zidane?
No. What? Sorry, guys. DJ Phil Neville.
Never got it.
Bro, you win.
Yes!
Well done, Jack. You've won it. What's the book out of 10? Give me a quick rating. Jack?
I am still reeling from the fact that I gave Darren Huckabee an 8.
Yes.
But I've got to give I've got to give this a 7.
Okay. Wow.
Lower than Huckabee, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fair enough.
I didn't enjoy as much.
I'm going to come back to you, Amy, because you've got a good one for it. James?
I'm going 3.
Oof!
Oh!
Shit.
I'm going 4.
Oof.
I'm sorry.
It's bad.
Amy, what are you going for?
I think I gave my Yoshida at 8.
Yeah.
And I gave him a 9.
No, I gave him a 9 because of inflation.
Because of inflation. It was the Huckabee inflation.
Yeah.
The Dominic Strauss.
Yeah. Dominic Strauss Khan.
I am going to go with 7.
Interesting. I feel not like we really have talked you down throughout. Yoshida. I feel bad. So
no,
that's
it was 20, never a 10, guys.
21 divided by 4, that is 5.25.
Oh,
is
that
right?
I'm sad.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know.
5.25. Louis, you're at the bottom of the leaderboard.
He deserved better. Better than Darren.
I think he did deserve better. I think that's. Actually, no, because I would have given Darren a 6. So.
Too late.
Yeah, I know. Done. I know it's too late.
Sadly. You've ruined the whole podcast for yourself, bro.
I'm so annoyed.
Can we go back and read them all again?
Yeah.
James, celebrate your return to the podcast. You've got to. You get to choose the next book.
You've got to.
You've got to. Choose an expert. Is it going to be Gary Pallister's Pally? Or is it going to be Gary Monk, loud, proud, and positive?
It's got to be the Monk.
Yes. Got to be the Monk. Yes. Next week, we're going to be reading The Monk. Anyone has any thoughts on the book? If you read it or want to read along, message us reviews at Footy Book Club on Twitter. Review the podcast, subscribe, follow us. And any last words, guys? Book.
Book.
Book. Book. Book. Book. Book. Book. Book.
Book. Book. Book.
Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Baljan, Amy Lawson, Jack Bernhardt, and me, James Bug. It was created and produced by James Bug. Thanks for Louis Saha for writing the book. It's still available everywhere. I know what you're all thinking. You're wondering, what are they up to now? Well, this one isn't a funny one to kick off with, but Louis Saha and his wife split up. Also generally true. He wants to write an animated film for children and also almost ghost wrote Patrice Evra's autobiography, which is very strange. But hey, we're glad he's continuing his career as a writer. Good luck, Louis. We look forward to the animated Sylvain Distin. Louis Saha's son is now an engineer / footballer, and his daughter has successfully taken out a microchip and hasn't been seen since. Bye-bye. Mikel Arteta actually took a test, and it turns out he is Louis Saha's son. So that pappy thing makes total sense now. Sorry, Mikel. Gargamel still being a dick to Smurfs. Dominic Strauss-Kahn is mentioned by Louis Saha at least 2 or 3 times a day. Subscribe, review. Thanks a lot. Bye.